This is the Beauty Authority Podcast, hosted by Dr. Vicky Bello
and Katrina Razon.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to the Beauty Authority Podcast. I am Dr. Vicky Bello, cosmetic dermatologist and surgeon.
I am Katrina Razon, yoga teacher, holistic health coach. Let's talk about anything beauty, health, and wellness.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Vicky Bello.
And I'm Katrina Razon, and you're listening to The Beauty Authority.
Yes, welcome to The Beauty Authority. So today we're talking about the top 10 mistakes that you do to your skin. So let me start off, Kat. Listen, because you might be guilty of some of these, but let's ask Kat what she did that were mistakes when she was younger.
Just so everyone knows, I am a child of the 90s. So this was I'm definitely a millennial. So I was under that age group that would put rubbing alcohol to dry out my zits and pimples. And of course, the toothpaste, because I was told by a lot of my relatives that it would dry out my pimples overnight, which it didn't. It just made my face smell weird and made my face feel strange as well. And of course, I would, you know, there wasn't social media when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, which I'm kind of thankful for, because I would have gone crazy if there was social media in high school. But, you know, when you're watching all these reality TV shows and you see the doctors teaching you how to pop your own pimples at home, then you get excited and you get your tools. In my case, they were two Q-tips, cotton Q-tips. And I would go in and pop a zit and then, of course, try to clean it out with the rubbing alcohol. And then it made my breakout much worse.
Okay, so you much started worse. Going to a doctor then? Is that, did you start
seeing
a dermatologist?
Yeah. Oh. Well, yeah, but the problem is also when you're that young and you don't have a lot of resources available to you, because we didn't have like that many searches online to really research some of the products that we would apply to our face at all, you still get so hard-headed and you're like, oh, but this like pimple looks so juicy, I need to pop it. But as much as possible, you really have to fight the urge. And I just put like patches on whatever whiteheads I have now so that I don't get tempted to see the mistake, the inevitable mistake. What about you, Dr. Vicky?
Well, yes, I had a really bad acne problem. I started getting acne at the age of 11, which is very young. And I really had so many pimples. So I guess my biggest mistake, which turned out to be a blessing in disguise, is that I love to pop my pimples. So I wouldn't do it with a Q-tip, but I would wrap my fingers in tissue. And then I would pop it. And the next day, instead of one, I'd have three. Pop three, there would be five. So it really spreads the pus underneath the skin. But because I got so much satisfaction from seeing half of the pus jump out, I decided I wanted to devote my life. I said, I can't think of a better profession than popping pimples all day. Because there's a certain satisfaction there. But I would also do the alcohol thing. And I think what I did, I thought for some reason that acne was caused by dirt, which we know now it's really more genetic. If your parents have it, if you have oily skin, then of course you're going to have acne problems. But I would wash my face so many times a day, thinking that if I just washed it enough, then the dirt would go away. So I'd wash my face 5 to 6 times a day, and it was just making everything even worse. So I think it's good to discuss these things, because I'm sure a lot of people out there have misconceptions about it. So we will start with number 10. Tan-ta-ra-ra-ra-ran. Okay, so number 10 is neglecting your eyes and neck. Okay, so I'm so guilty about this. I never paid attention to my neck and my eyes in terms of eye cream or putting lotion on the neck. This is the only place I think you should put moisturizer, really, is on the neck. Because the neck doesn't have any oil glands of its own, not very little anyway. So you need to moisturize your neck. Otherwise, it's going to dry up a lot faster. And then it's going, as you get older, patients always say, and I always say, the face might look young, but the dead giveaways of the age of a person are their hands and their neck. Because people don't usually take care of their hands. They wash their hands all the time, and then they don't put moisturizer, so you'll have a lot of veiny hands. And then the neck as well sags a lot faster than the rest of the face. What do you think, Kat? Are you doing anything for your neck? Because you have a beautiful neck.
So I only recently started putting moisturizer on my neck and, you know, and also in the collarbone area as well. Mm-hmm. And also putting sunscreen in those areas a lot of the times, because those were areas that I would like always neglect, especially with the sunscreen. Like, you would never think to put it really on your neck, but actually the back of your neck gets burnt pretty badly, and it's a painful, right. It's a painful burn. And which leads us to another point in this list is another big mistake is not wearing sunscreen every day.
Yes. So I think the worst thing you can do for your skin, if people always ask me, what is the best anti-aging cream? I used to say it was tretinoin, but now I can say it's sunblock. Because, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and tretinoin is more really a cure, a little prevention. But if you just wore sunblock, because sunblock, the sun damages the skin really badly, especially the UVA, so you have to use a broad spectrum sunblock. And you have to start even at home, because there's still rays from the lights, from your cooking, from your devices. So you have to use sunblock, because by protecting your skin from sun damage or light damage or UV damage, then you really prevent, you know, aging quickly. So I think that's one thing, just because the other thing that I've learned, because, for example, we just came from Balisin, and because it was dark and gloomy, again, you get fooled into thinking there's really no sun. So Hayden decided not to put sunblock, and I can see he's burned. And, you know, burning rays are aging rays as well. So, yeah. You know, you have to put sunblock all the time and reapplying. So again, the caveat is reapply every 2 hours. But if you're home, I think you can make it, like, if you're just working from home, apply sunblock in the morning, and then you don't have to reapply anymore. But if you're outdoors, please reapply every 2 hours, because it really, you know, you perspire and it gets washed off. And the other thing that I'm going to remind you about is, if it's a chemical sunblock, you can see some chemicals there in the back, then make sure you apply 30 minutes before you go out in the sun, because it takes 30 minutes for that sunblock to get absorbed. But if you're using something like titanium oxide or zinc oxide, those are physical sunblocks. So you can apply it and go straight out. It will protect you already, right? Okay, so mistake number, what are we now? Third?
So moisturizer in a humid country.
Okay, tell them your experience, Kat. Because I know you've been a good girl. I told you this and you were very hesitant. And then when you finally followed the advice, your skin cleared up, right?
Right, yeah. And it was less oily, because I would always apply moisturizer at the end of my nightly routine. Mm-hmm. And without really thinking about it, because we live in such a humid environment, being in the Philippines, and our skin gets shiny throughout the day because our skin is, you know, creating a lot of oil and sebum with the environment. And I didn't realize that my moisturizer was adding to that oil production.
It was adding to it and clogging the oil, your pores. So the whatever oil you were making couldn't even come out. So it just stayed in the pore. And of course, we have bacteria that loves to eat the oil and create free fatty acids, which would then irritate your pore more, because it's an acid, and then voila, you get a pimple. So everyone, please do not moisturize in the Philippines. Now, if you're going to Sweden, Las Vegas, where there's really very little humidity, then yes, you may. But if you're oily in the Philippines, your skin will be normal there. So I would still avoid the T-zone area. But I would moisturize, of course, the neck, the cheeks and stuff. But when you're here, please avoid moisturizing. 80% of Filipinos have oily skin, and the weather is humid, so it doesn't allow for vaporization when you clog your pores with moisturizer.
Right. Okay, but you could moisturize your legs.
Oh yes, your whole body. Yeah. I'm okay with that. And as I said earlier, you should moisturize your neck and your hands especially.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? Washing face with water that's too hot. So you were telling me that you used to wash your face in the shower, right?
Which apparently is a big mistake, because the heat opens up your pores. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that I believe it creates a harsher reaction to the skin. And, you know, as much as we love to multitask and do everything in one go, we should keep washing the face at the bathroom sink and not in the shower.
Especially with water. If you like to take hot showers, which I love to do, I love hot showers, then you have to realize that it's a bit too harsh on the face, especially if you put your wash there. And then it can break a lot of blood vessels, and then you can create a lot of telangiectasia, which are small red spots all over your face. So again, when you wash in the sink, make sure that you wash your face, your neck, behind the ears as well, and your chest, because this is all part of the face. I mean, when I say face, I mean everything up to, they say up to your, above the nipples, because people look at you, it's so weird sometimes, and people have different colors, like their face is a different color from their neck, and then their décolletage. So please look at it as one big area, because most of the time, if you wear, you know, off the shoulder clothes, which is so in here in the Philippines, because it's so hot, then you want to be even colored everywhere. Okay, what other problems we have? Mistakes. Go ahead.
Layering your skincare products wrong and not preparing your skin. So what that means is, we have different skincare products. We have our vitamin C's, we have our retinols, we have the cleansers, but the problem is that a lot of us, we incorrectly apply these ingredients on our face. And what ends up happening is that it counteracts certain properties. You know, a lot of people assume that you need to put the vitamin C on first, when the vitamin C should go at what step, Dr. Vicky?
It should actually be one of the last. You have to think of the molecular size. Okay. So for example, the bigger molecular size is vitamin C. It's an antioxidant. It's great for you, or for your skin. It stops pigmentation. Tocopherol is vitamin E. I really am not a big believer in vitamin E for the skin, not in the Philippines. Again, it's too oily. But first of all, so you, when you do steps, you have three steps when you're doing skincare. One is preparing the skin, then putting the actives, and then protecting the skin. So getting skin ready is usually a wash, a face wash. It's not too harsh, because you don't want to destroy your acid mantle, because that's protective for your face. But you do want to let the medicines go through. So preparing the face would be a wash, then a toner that's not alcohol or any of those very strong astringents. And then after that, you can do a scrub, but not every day, like every 3 days. And then you apply your actives. So when you're doing your actives, you always use the serums first, or anything that's of a lighter cream. So for example, I know I gave you the Zainobagi's exfoliation accelerator. So those are the alpha hydroxy acids and the beta hydroxy acids, which is in the oil control pad. So you put that on and it prepares your skin for the next step. Then you can put the exfoliation accelerator, which is a glycolic acid. And then you decide, okay, in the morning, I would put vitamin C and Bright Alive. Bright Alive first, because the vitamin C molecules are too big. So then that would already kind of fill up your superficial layer. And so anything you put after that won't go in anymore. It's like a little wall that will stop anything from going in. In the evening, you always apply your retinol, your retinoic acid last. So again, it would be getting skin ready and then maybe putting the Bright Alive or whatever, a thinner cream, and then your tretinoin. You can't put anything after your retinol or your tretinoin. If you're going to put vitamin C in the evening as well, you'd still do it before the retinoic acid. So in any way that you apply, the retinoic acids are the last if you're going to apply any of that. Then vitamin C would be second to the last. And if you don't use retinoic acid, then vitamin C would be the last. But it really is better. That's why I wasn't too hot about the Korean products, because they were just putting too many things over each other. And I think you can tell in the morning when you wash your face that you can feel it. It's just on the surface of your skin. You've wasted a lot of money and a lot of product, and it gets washed off. So if you experience that, you know that you're putting too much product or you're not putting it in the right order. The other thing to do when you apply product is to kind of press it into the skin lightly. Rubbing is very bad because you're tearing the elastic fibers, you know, and I know people do that all the time, especially around the eye, guys. Whenever you do anything around the eye, please be very gentle with your eyes. You know, your skin, they are thin. So just press it in. And then if it takes a little longer to do it, it's okay, because you want the skincare to penetrate. You don't want it to just sit in, but you just have to really press it in and don't rub it in.
Hi guys, before we move on with the rest of the show, I just wanted to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by Podcast Network Asia and Podmetrics. If you're a podcaster and you need help with your show's data or even monetizing your show, go visit podmetrics.co and sign up for free using my code BEAUTYAUTHORITY. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to the Beauty Authority Podcast with Dr. Vicky Bello and Katrina Razon.
And then, what's our next one? Over-exfoliating body scrubs. So on your body, I wouldn't do, first of all, loofah is probably one of the worst things you can do for your body. Right? Do you do that? Do you know why it's so
bad? No, I don't. But you know what's, I also am curious to hear your opinion on these dry brushes that are becoming really hot in the market right now. And you see a lot of influencers with doing these dry brushes.
Well, but the dry brushes are okay, I think, once every 2 weeks. Frankly, I used to do it like 10 years ago. It's nothing new. They do increase the blood circulation, so that's good. And they do remove some of the dead skin, which is good, but they're a bit too aggressive. So when you do it, and then you have to do it the right way, because a lot of people, if they do it themselves, they do it back and forth, back and forth. You're supposed to do it in one direction to get rid of the thing. You're not, if you do it back and forth, then you wound your skin in the back and the rest of the body. And it's not good. Now, why is loofah not good, especially the natural loofah? Because it absorbs bacteria. Think about it. You're in a dark environment in your shower, the best place, you know, when they grow bacteria and fungus in a petri dish. They usually do it in a dark place, and then it's wet and humid because, of course, that's where you take a shower. So it's a great area to grow microorganisms.
Yeah.
And then what do? You actually scratch your body with this loofah, and then you let the bacteria go in, and then you wonder, why are these, they're bumps, and why do I have like little pustules on my arms? Or, you know, guys, you put it there. So loofah is the worst because it's natural. The synthetic ones don't really grow things as much, right? But still, I wouldn't do it. I would do, if ever, I would do a scrub, because at least that goes down the drain and it's new. But even then, I wouldn't do like a salt scrub. We do it at the clinic, but we advise people at most to do it twice a week. Doing too much of a good thing is bad. Okay, so for those out there who think, oh, a little is so good. If I do a lot more, it might be even a lot better. That's really a big mistake, because the reason we're telling you to only do it twice a week, even for example, the scrubs on the face, I know you look great because your dead skin has been exfoliated. And especially if you use alpha hydroxy acids or tretinoin and you're a little older or you're a little oilier, sometimes it doesn't exfoliate by itself. So you need a little help with the scrubs. But just do the scrubs at most once every 2 days, because every day is way too much. So do you use any scrubs on your face, Kat?
I really like the Zio exfoliator that you gave me. It's a great exfoliator. And other than that, I don't really like to experiment with different scrubs. I like, I think the brand is called Necessaire. They're a body scrub that has no fake fragrance that I use once a week.
Okay.
And I don't use a loofah. I just like apply it on my hands in the shower and just scrub and exfoliate everything away. But leading up from that, another big mistake that we do at home is sleeping with our face masks on.
Do you do that?
No. I mean, I think I napped wearing one like a long time ago, but you know, I'm like very hesitant now with the face masks unless I feel that my skin is really dehydrated, because again, like I want to be very careful with the amount of moisturizer that I put on my face. What I do prefer are the under eye masks instead, because the area underneath my eyes tends to get dry.
Did you try a Chlorophyll Med mask? I'm recovery mask, not yet.
Because I tried it. I love it.
It's so great. I love it. I'm so excited because it's a wonderful hyaluronic acid mask. And you put it on, it's made out of like a gel kind of thing, but only put it on for 15 minutes. I think this is another problem with people. Oh, if it says 15 minutes, maybe if I put it on for 30 minutes, I'll get a lot more benefit. It's been studied, guys, and they've had scientists really give you these instructions because it's correct. So please don't divert, because 15 minutes would be maximal benefit. If you put it longer, and again, you might clog your eyelash, you know, where your eyelashes come out, and then you might have that milia. You know, if you have milia around the eye, which are these little things that are white, they look like whiteheads, but they're deeper. It's usually because your eye cream is too rich. And the reason I like this PhilMed eye cream is because it's not a moisturizer. It's all about peptides. So it has tripeptides, it has collagen, it has elastin. All the things that you need to make your skin around the eye, which is so thin, thicker and healthier. And again, of course, when you put makeup, stop, you know, bothering your eyes so much and stretching it up, you know, when you put your eyeshadow and stuff like that. But this is really... This is the best eye cream I've ever found, because it's not about moisturizing. It's about feeding your skin around the eye with what it needs, which are peptides, which are short-chained amino acids or proteins that kind of feed your skin to build, you know, better, healthier skin. So as we get older, of course, we lose a lot of our healthy cells. When people ask me, when does aging begin? The scientific answer is 25 years old. Okay, because growth hormone is in the body until 25, and then it starts to go down. So that means that everything is now degrading, all the protein in your skin and everything. But even collagen, I see that when, you know, sponginess of the skin in a 10-year-old is a lot less spongy than a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old. So you're already losing collagen. But as far as the rest of the cells are concerned, the hyaluronic acid, the glycoaminoglycans, you start losing that really at 25. So this is when you start doing your anti-aging procedures. This is something that I have to apologize for, because I think, you know, 10 years ago, I was introduced to microneedling. And I love the device so much. Because I had a lot of little acne scars, and they were getting more shallow when I used a microneedling device. So this is a roller device that has a lot of needles on it. And because I was so convinced about it, I decided to make my own line of microneedling devices. And I sold it on Amazon 10 years ago. And then my problem was, because I had so many microneedling devices because I was making it, I would change it every week. You know, because I thought, okay, we would teach people how to disinfect it. And in my head, that was a big problem, you know, like making sure that it was sterile. So I didn't realize until about 3 months into the thing, the project, and I had like 2,000 microneedling devices, which I just threw away, because that the problem is not so much, of course, sterility is important, but more important is that the needles get blunt. And people don't usually have the kind of budget to replace their microneedling devices every week. So they would keep it for a month. And when the needles are blunt, they're not really anymore cutting into the skin, but they're creating damage by just putting a little pressure. And then there's redness and telangiectasia. And so now I really apologize, because somebody else is distributing microneedling devices, pretending they're me, using the video that I had made 10 years ago about how good microneedling devices are. So I'm telling you guys, that's not me. I'm not selling it. I'm against at-home needling, microneedling devices. What you can do is go to the clinic and have you know, microneedling devices that are powered. It's a brand new, sterile, one-use needling thing with radio frequency. That works really well. So the ones that are really good are the Vivace and the Genius. I've tried those and they're amazing. But don't believe anything. Don't buy anything from wherever that's selling. When you see my face, I'm sorry, I don't know how they got a hold of that video 10 years ago. I don't know if they taped it 10 years ago, but somebody's pretending to be me. And that's not me. And don't buy home microneedling devices. Have you ever tried microneedling, Kat?
I did have, I'm guilty of having the microneedling roller, and it was a one-time use because it went into the trash can after I used it.
Okay.
It was just so scary, like the feeling of these needles, and I had no idea how much pressure to put on it. So after my skin became super red, I was like, okay, I'm not going to play around and experiment anymore.
Well, you know, my thinking then made sense. I thought if I did the microneedling, I did see the scars go up a bit because, you know, that's actually even the Vivace and Genius. It really helps with skin quality and skincare. And then I thought, oh, there are little holes, so my creams will go in better. But no, you can't do it. Just throw that away. So
yeah.
Goodbye on that. And finally, I'm so happy I've gotten a platform where I can explain and tell everybody that it's a mistake. And then the number one common mistake that everybody does is dun, 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 dun.
Oh, we have to say popping your own pimples.
Oh, we have number to say three. Okay, did I miss that? Okay. Popping your own pimples. Yes, you can never do it at the right angle. Really, you can't. You know, I think in all the years, 30 years of doing it, I don't do it anymore because it's a hit or miss thing. You can't see your face in the mirror. You really have to go to an esthetician that's been well-trained. In fact, for Bella, we train our estheticians for 6 months. They do nothing but 8 hours a day of popping pimples because it's a skill that really needs to be learned. So I know it looks so tempting and you can't stand it, but, you know, either do the Bello Essentials has this bee venom that you put to dry up your acne, and or the patches for the pimple patches. Those are really good. And it, you know, the nice thing about the patch is that it prevents you from fooling around with your pimple because it's covered. So you're not as angry with it or as giggled with it as normal. So, and you keep it overnight, and the next day it's dried up, and sometimes the pimple actually gets peeled off along with the pad, and Bello is
that's the most satisfying feeling.
Yeah.
I love it when the patch turns white because you know it's really sucking up all the pus, and then when you slowly remove it, you're just like, ooh, this is so good.
Yes, thank you for saying slowly remove it because
you can remove it. I love to watch every moment of it because it's so satisfying.
But this is what we're calling the pimple patches, guys. It's not the same thing as the blackhead patches that people put on the nose, right?
Yeah.
Where they strip it off fast. It's like waxing your nose. I don't think that's too great. I think that really hurts you. So don't do that. But the little pimple patches are just, you know, small round ones that you just put on one pimple. Okay, so you can announce the first most common mistake that people do.
Number one, self-medication. And that means buying strong peels, astringents, using calamansi citric acid. In other words, if it burns on your face, it's probably not going to be that good for you.
Exactly. But we have to add on to this. So sometimes you guys just do it on your own. But you know, another thing that people are guilty of is that they go to a dermatologist. Let's just say you have seborrheic dermatitis, which is an itchy, itchy feeling with redness and some oiliness or rosacea around the T-zone area, the cheek area and stuff. So because you're itchy and you're picking on your face, your dermatologist gives you a steroid cream, a mild steroid cream. And you love the result. Oh my God, it quieted my skin. It's so beautiful. And then, so you keep putting it on. So she told you to use it for, let's say, 10 days. But you decided, okay, I'm going to buy another tube and use it for forever because I love the results of this thing. Quiets my skin. It feels so smooth, blah, blah. But then a steroid cream has a lot of side effects. And when you use it long-term, it can cause telangiectasia, thin out your skin, cause an overlying fungal infection. So this is just as bad. You're not self-medicating, but you're medicating beyond the time that your dermatologist told you to use it. And that's just as bad. So we have someone who's a friend of Kat, who showed her face that she has now a lot of pimples because steroids can cause acne, and not just plain acne, but cystic acne from prolonged use. So please follow your dermatologist's instruction. If you're still itchy after, then go back for a follow-up. Don't skimp on things like this. A lot of doctors don't even charge for a follow-up. But, you know, you go there and you show them so they can really actually, you know, give you more advice. Don't advise. We went to school for a really long time, like 13 years, to learn all these things. So, yes, your IG knowledge is not going to cut it, right, Kat?
Right. And also with that being said, skincare products are very personal. So every product out there isn't going to work for everyone because we all have different skin types. We all have allergies to different ingredients. So the best option to always do is to consult with a specialist, consult with a dermatologist who will understand your skin and who will give you the right recommendations to treat whatever issue it is that you may be experiencing.
Yes, and that's another thing, because if your skin issue is getting better, your skin has changed. So you do have to go back to your dermatologist, because there is a difference between treating a problem and maintaining good skin. So you can't use your products that you, let's say you had acne, bustules, etc. So now you're okay. We will decrease the amount of anti-acne products, antibacterial products, and replace it with something for better skin quality. So you do have to keep going to your derma, not all the time, but let's say at least check in every quarter to make sure that you're using the right products for you. And stop recommending products to your friends. Well, you can. There's certain things, but again, your friend might have very different skin. So with the Korean products, I noticed a lot of people were doing it, and some people had great results and others had really bad results, because our faces are individualized. Our skincare should be individualized, right? And on that note, we will end Beauty Authority for today. Thank you for listening, everyone. Kat, thank you again for being here for everyone and sharing all your knowledge. You represent a very intelligent every woman or every man. So take care, everyone. You take care. Be safe.
Thank you so much, Dr. Vicky, for your knowledge and all of your experiences in the space. You're definitely the domain of knowledge in this space. And I hope everyone walks away learning something new. And we learn a lot more from our mistakes than from our successes. So please keep in mind, tell your friends. And if you have any questions, please submit your questions to either Dr. Vicky or myself via Instagram. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Beauty Authority podcast. Make sure to follow and subscribe to the show so you won't miss out on new episodes.